Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are here Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. time, or to whenever the Holy Spirit wants us. The Lord, and we great God. The Bible calls him great I am, lily of the valley, early morning star, the land of the tribe of Judah. We just bless the name of the Lord. We want to just worship for 20 minutes or so, and we're going to come back and bring this. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised.
He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the one who sits high and he's the one who sees low. Father, we bless your name, we praise your name, and we glorify your name. We ask, O God, that you would move in our midst, that you would do only what you can do, God. Bless us with your presence, O God. Moses says, if your presence don't go, he will not move. Today we ask you to bless us with your presence, O God. Oh, Father, we ask you to come in, come in, come in. We welcome you in now. We welcome you in this place, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, God. Come in and fill our empty places, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Today we are going to be talking about walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. Walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. I was watching some stuff last night. I'm telling you, we can't call the people names. But I was watching some stuff last night and was talking about some pastors and bishops in Texas and down south. And it amazed me that how well these people can preach and teach and they can sing too, you know. Oh, they're minstrels. But how many much corruption is in the church? And I begin to search my computer, go through my computer, because I have a lot of sermons in my computer from 2010. Some that I preach already and some I haven't preached. But I go back and look and see what the Lord wants us to bring forward from back then into this 21st century that we're living in. And I begin to look at this sermon, not a long sermon, you know, and it begin to speak to us. These people have so much business, so much properties. The bishop's name and the pastor's name, you will be amazed. They own so much property. Apartment buildings, condominiums, single family homes, business in the world community, you know, their own businesses and stuff. You wouldn't even believe, you know, but these people, have become so corrupt that they have gotten to this place where they're doing everything that pleased them. Everything that pleased them. And we're supposed to please God, not please ourselves. And they're doing things that please the people, but not God. So we begin to look at this text here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at, we are at Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verses 27 to 38. Listen to what he says. The disciples were amazed. Am I there? The disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. Talking about Jesus. Okay? Talking about Jesus. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us?" We're reading out of the Living Bible. "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" Let me tell you something. You have to know who you are and whose you are. Because I want to say to you, you might not believe this, but the devil know who you are. The devil know who we are. And if you would operate in the realm of who you are called to be, the devil will leave you alone. But you tend to be dibbing and dabbing. You want to be over here, you want to be over there. We have to make up in our mind, who are we going to serve? See, the devil knew Jesus. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew that he was God himself. The devil said, you come to torment us or you come to torture us before the time that God had appointed for us. The devil knows. But what we do is we give in to the little thing that he brings to fear us. We're talking about walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. Walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. So the demons beg. Let's go back up. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. This is in four different parts. It's two parts in three different books, Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And they're different, a little different. One, he made two men. Another, he made a man, and another, he made a man that was possessed with demons. But Jesus knew who he was. He operate in that realm of authority. We give up too easy. We say, well, I'm saved, I'm sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost filled. As soon as something come our way, we fall. We tremble. We bow. Why the enemy should be bowing to us? The enemy should be bowing. Every satanic power, every witch, every warlock should be bowing to us, because the Bible tells us that we are of God and that we have overcome them, the witches and warlocks, the soothsayers, the witch doctors. We have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But when the enemy comes, we just forget who we are. Automatically, we forget who we are, that we are children of the Most High God. And the enemy takes us and turns us around like a yo-yo, every which way. We are bending every which way. So the demons beg, if you cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs. All right, go, Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and into the pigs. And the whole herd plunged down the deep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. While the herdmen fled the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed man. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Oh, when you are operating in the anointing, some people ain't going to want you around, because they are dibbing in the dark world. I get to find out that one of these people that we were watching that is so well known in the world, not just in America, that they were dibbing in the dark side, Minister Jones, that this particular bishop is dibbing in the dark side to get power so that he can become richer. I said, oh my God. I was saying to myself, I remember when this guy was back in the early 80s or 70s, when this guy was down south and he had a little house and the ministry was in the house, and how anointed this man was. But he wasn't satisfied with that anointing, from what the people are saying, what these folk that investigated him are saying. He went and to the dark side, selling his soul to the devil, because they're not satisfied with Jesus being all-powerful, all-knowing God, leading and guiding them. They want to be in charge. They want to be holding the steering wheel. If I know that Jesus, I was just talking to prophetess in Louisiana on the phone from New Orleans. And she just went through a death, hard, hard thing that her life was on, hanging on the death string just like mine. She was beat up so badly by her ex-husband that she almost lost her life. She did nothing to him. He was trying to kill her. That's what he told her. He's sitting in prison right now for trying to kill his ex-wife. She's a woman of God. And she was telling that all that she'd been through, all she was doing is praising and thanking God for saving her life. Pictures in my phone she sent me that you can't even believe that another human being that say he loves somebody would do that kind of thing to him. Beat him up that bad to the point of almost dying. Couldn't even believe it. But I begin to look and see how many people are proclaiming Jesus, but they're not really living for him. They're living a two-tier life. You understand what I'm saying? That's the life that they're living. In other words, they're proclaiming that they belong to Jesus, but their life don't speak that. They're giving in to the dark side because money and materialistic things is more important to them than living a holy life and a life that they will get to be with Jesus. The entire town came out. You thought that they would be happy to see this man operating in his right senses, more concerned about the pigs that took the spirits, the demonic spirits, and ran down. Even the pigs did not want the spirits. That's the Lord Jesus. How we want to connect with the devil and pigs that can't talk. Yes, they can walk, but they can't talk. They grunt. Didn't want the devils. They ran down the steep hill into the ocean and drunk themselves. You know, that tells you how awful demons are. But you got people, movie stars, entertainers, preachers, husbands and wives that are giving their souls, selling their souls because they want to have things of the world that the enemy is showing them. They give up their soul. Jesus gave up his life so that we would have life. But we don't want the life. Most of them don't want the life that Jesus given them because it don't come with diamond rings and Cadillacs and Rolls Royce and Bentleys and all that stuff and Cessna jets and stuff. It don't come with that. Hallelujah. All he is requiring for us is obedience. That's all he requires of us is to obey him. In the book of Mark chapter 5, you see another one over here. Very similar to the one that we just read. We only got about four scriptures we want to give you. And then we're going to come down. Let's look at this in the Amplified Bible and see what it says. Mark chapter 5. And let's start at verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of Gerasenes, Zenus. And as soon as he got out of the boat, they met him out of the tombs a man. He just met two men, but now he made a man under the power of an unclean spirit. Hallelujah. You see, when you give yourself to the dark side, you're no longer in charge. Hallelujah. When you give yourself to Jesus, he is so awesome and so loving that he still allow you to use your will. Or to be able to make choices. But when Satan has control, have the power over your soul, he tell you what to do. You don't do what you want to do. All the folks that sell their souls to the devil, they just do what the devil say. You see them cutting up themselves, they're putting all type of stuff on their face, on their hands, all over their head. Some of them shave their head and you can't even see the skin. They got tattoos all over their head. Because the devil told them to do that stuff. All these satanic emblems they put on their body. The way the earrings, the way the, all this stuff, the rings and the fingernails and everything changed. The eyebrows and eyelids and everything is stuck up with spikes and all kind of stuff because the devil is in control. He said a man continually live among the tombs and no one could subdue him anymore, even with chains. For he had been bound often with shackles for the feet and handcuffs. But the handcuffs of light chains he wrenched apart. And the shackles he rubbed and ground together and broke in pieces. And no one has strength enough to restrain him or tame him. And there among the tombs, on the mountains, he was always shrieking and screaming and beating and bruising and cutting himself with stones. And when from a distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees before him in homage. See, the demon that was in this man knew who Jesus was. Well, he had demons. He had a legion of demons in him. Not just one demon. He had demons in him. And the demons knew who Jesus is. He knew, they knew what power Jesus possessed. Don't you know that the demons know what power you possess? But do you know? Do we know what we possess? Because time and time and time we give in. We throw in the towel. We forget that we are children of the Most High God. And he said the works that he did, we would do even greater works. We would do and even do greater works. But we forget that. All we can see is the power of the demon. All we can hear is the words of the demon. We're no longer hearing the Spirit speaking to us, the Spirit of God. He began to cry and crying out with a loud voice. He said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus? Implore, he said, Son of the Man." No, let me read that again. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What is there in common between us? I solemnly implore you by God, do not begin to torment me." Can you imagine the devil saying, "Don't do me no harm by the power of God. By God, by God." He's called on God. Not on Jesus, he's calling on God. Tell the demon don't call out. And then he said, "Don't torment me." For Jesus was commanding, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We're not just one demon, we are many. We have control of this man. But see, Jesus had control of the man and the demons. Why? Because he's God, all-powerful, all with all authority. He's the sovereign Lord. We get so distracted. We get so weak. When things start happening to us, we just give in. Jesus began to... The demons in the man is talking. And Jesus is not even paying them demons any mind because he's all powerful. The Bible says he began commanding, using his authority to the man, "Come out," telling the demons, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" He is talking to the man and he's talking to the, do you know that? He is speaking to the man and he's speaking to the spirits at the same time. But the spirits answer, "We are legion. My name is Legion, for we are many." And he kept begging him urgently not to send himself and the others and the other demons away out of that region. See, the demons had control of that region. See, the Bible said that the people could not pass that area. People could not pass that area because the demon was so horrific. He was horrible. The noise that he would make would even scare the people, shrieking and crying and shouting all night long and all day long. People don't want to go there. The noise would hurt their ears. And the fear was upon the people. Now, a great herd of hogs was grazing there on the hillside. And the demons begged him, saying, send us to the hogs that we may go into them. So he gave them permission. All clean spirits came out of the man and into the hogs. And the herd numbering about 2,000. Can you imagine that? The herd numbered about 2,000, so we can assume that there were more than 1,000. Because they went in all the herds, the hogs. So over 2,000 demons were in this man. And the hogs rushed headlong down the steep slope into the sea, and were drowned in the sea. The hogs feeding ran away and told it. The hogs feeder ran away and told it in the town and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had taken place. And they came to see and look intensely and searchingly at the man who had been demonic, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the same man who had the legion of demons. And they were seized with alarm and struck with fear. And those who had seen it related in full what had happened to the man possessed by demons and to the hogs. The man, those people that see, the keepers of the hogs, hallelujah, they begin to tell the whole story. How Jesus had cast the demons out. How the demons had begged to be cast into the hogs. They tell, the toll came up from the city and towns, the whole story. You would think they would be jumping for joy. Hallelujah. They're concerned with stuff, you know. Now, they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And when he had stepped into the boat, the man who had been controlled by the unclean spirits kept begging him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused to permit him, but said to him, go home to your own family and relatives and friends and bring back word to them of how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you. And he departed and began to publicly proclaim the man of evangelizing. Proclaim in the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished and marveled. We forget what Jesus has done for us. When we begin to prosper, we forget all that he has done. But this man is free. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to stand in the Amplified Bible. We're going to stay in the Amplified Bible. Just a few more. We forget that how much God has done for us. And then we let some people tell you, when you begin to share your testimony, say, but you don't have to keep sharing your testimony all the time. What I'm going to do, talk about you? Share your testimony? The Bible says, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I no longer love my life unto death. See, my life belongs to Christ Jesus. He paid the ultimate price on a cross, was nailed, was pierced, was crowned with thorns. I was studying this because I got to teach on the road to the cross. I don't even know if I'll bring that on and teach that tomorrow. The road to the cross. Because I was studying that last night, and I was looking at every time that the people would hit Jesus, strike Jesus, and they would hit him on his head, and the more they hit him, the thorns would pierce his brow, causing blood to just flow down his cheeks. But they didn't care, because that's what Satan was instructing them to do, to abuse the Savior. And looking at that, and I begin to think about my life, I see that the Lord loved me so much, the Father loved me so much, that he sent his son, his only son. You think if something was going on, I sent my son. My son said, I ain't going for that stuff. Daddy can't do that. He'll tell me, Daddy can't do that. But Jesus came on. He came on down through 40 and two generations to do exactly what he did, to go to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's thy will, take this. If there's no other way you can do it, just take this cup from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. Jesus went to the cross, and they abused him all the way up the Villa Doroso pathway to the cross for you and for me. And then we don't want to tell nobody our testimony. You don't want to share what God delivered you from, because you let that bishop, that pastor, that apostle, that deacon, that elder, that minister, that usher tell you. You don't have to keep talking your testimony. Somebody, people know your testimony already. I begin to share my testimony. Some of the stuff that happened to me on Tuesday. I was sharing it on Sunday morning in the church. A lady jumped up. She called me Bishop. She said, Bishop, man, you encourage me. Every time I hear you say all this stuff you've been through, I begin to show them. When I didn't know anything, but when I got up from off the table on Tuesday and I finished putting the two stents, and the doctor said to me, he said, Mr. Callie, you know you died on the bed, on the table, and we had to shock your heart back into life, back into motion. He said. But I told him before, I told you what the Lord told me, you wasn't going to die. I mean, I wasn't going to die and go into the grave, not yet, because I still got work to do. You know, I coming from my doctor. This Tuesday, and that was the last Tuesday I was in the hospital at Good Samaritan. But I come in from the doctor a couple of days ago from my doctor. He says to me, my family doctor, he said, Mr. Callie, you know, we haven't known each other for a long time. He said, but since I get to know you, look at all these things that happened to you, and you still standing. And I told him, I said, because the God that I serve is greater than all the stuff that's coming against me. And he told me, he says, I just want to tell you that everything is working fine. We don't have no problem. I got a little rash on the side of my face. That's all he had to do, give me a prescription with some kind of cream to put on my face. He told me that everything is fine. Your blood pressure is 120 over 78 or something. Your cholesterol is fine. Everything is fine. Because, see, when you get on the table, you can't get on the table and start to tremble. When you hear you're going to get cut or you're going to get whatever they're going to do, you can't stop being trembling. You got to be who God said you are. You got to operate in faith, not in sight. We begin to tremble because I'm afraid of dying. You want to live, but you don't want to die. And see, if you understand that you're going to live forever with Jesus, you're not afraid of dying. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't want to die. You know, how are you going to be with the Lord if you don't die? But you're afraid to die. They look at me in the hospital, apostle. They look at me. I told them, I said, look. But I prayed, I said, look, I'm not afraid to die. What have you got to do, do? But before you do what you're going to do, let me pray for all of you doctors. Let me pray for you surgeons that God would guide your hand. Matter of fact, that he'll be the surgeon in the room, that you will make no mistakes. This God that we serve is a powerful God. In Luke chapter 8, verse verse 20. So I'm just giving you these three places where they talk about these demons. Talking about walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. People proclaim to be Christians, proclaim to be anointed and appointed with God, but they're dipping in darkness. See? They're anointed, they're appointed, and they're proved when they're coming on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, on Saturday morning, on Friday night. They're anointed bishops, they're anointed apostles, prophets, prophetess, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're anointed. They tell, I'm anointed by God. But as soon as they leave the building, they're back in dipping and dabbing in darkness. Dipping and dabbing in darkness. They're twerking and doing all this kind of stuff. Snorting cocaine, smoking cocaine, shooting heroin, doing all type of stuff that is not godly, but God sees it. And I told you that God says he is going to come to the house and bring correction and warn all pastors, all the bishops, all the apostles. I don't care who you are. Let's get this place to repentance. Let's bring the house of God to a place of repentance. Everybody, from top to bottom, there's nobody clean. Nobody is clean but Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody got to come to repentance. I got in my bed up until this morning. I was praying for repentance. I thanking God. I said, God, I repent of every thought, every word, every action, known or not known, every morning. Because if for some reason I get up out that bed and I cross over, I'm in right standing with him. Right standing from my mind all the way down to my toes. I'm in right standing with him. Not that I'm perfect. Just finished talking to a prophet in Louisiana. I said, I'm not perfect. I'll cross every T and dot every I. But I know that I'm obedient to the word of God. I know this. Everybody said, well, how come you talk to all these women? I talk to all of them. Because I see them as children of God. I don't see them as a sex object or somebody that I can live with. And if they come with that stupid stuff to me, I just shut them up. I just shut them up. Because I'm married to Jesus. I'm his bride. See, you got to understand this. If we don't get the mindset who we are in him, man, book your passages. You're going through hell, though. Listen, Luke chapter 8, verse 27. Now, when Jesus stepped out on land, there met him a certain man out of the town of who was possessed by demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He was naked. And he lived not in a house, but in the tomb. See, this is different to Mark and it's different to Matthew. Hallelujah. And when he saw Jesus, he raised a deep, terrible cry from the depths of his throat and fell down before him in terror and shouted loudly, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? See, listen. When you understand that you have authority, when you understand that you have power, not man's power, but God's power dwelling on the inside, you begin to walk different. Not with pride. You walk with compassion, but you walk with authority, and you walk with power. Jesus came down not as God, but he came as God-man, leaving divinity in heaven. Came down here that he can feel your pain, my pain, our pain. But he still had power. He still had power. He knew that he was the Son of God. You understand? He knew he had to go to Calvary. He had to die. That he had to be placed in the crown for you and I. He still had power. And the demons knew who he was. That's why they bowed to him. Demons are coming telling you, you know, you haven't smoked cocaine for a long time. Why don't you go back and smoke a pipe a little bit? And bishop can't sue. Apostle evangelist can't sue. Let's go get a little high. Drink a little corn liquor. And you're down here with family in the summertime. And they can't sue. They're back in Texas. They're back in Mississippi. Down there. You're all the way over in Virginia. They can't see you. And you get high. Yeah, I could fool. I know some people used to go to Mardi Gras and shake their stuff. And they forget that they were men and women of God. I don't go to none of that stuff. We have it in our country. And the other country that I belongs to. I belong to America now because I'm a citizen. But you go down to the Caribbean and they're having crop over festival. They dress up in all the half, they half naked, the men half naked, women half naked. You know how they do in Mardi Gras. It's the same thing, just called a different name. Women that you wouldn't believe you would see up there with a little bikini, a little string coming up between their butt cheeks. And their butts, is all, the butts is all hang out, jumping in the streets. Because Satan is in control. Them same people go back to church on Sunday morning, proclaiming that they are saved and sanctified. You cannot walk with Jesus and while dancing with the devil. This is the message this morning. Walking with the Lord while dancing with the devil. You can't do it. See, if you're doing this, you don't know who you are. That's why the devil brings so much stuff at you. He tried everywhere to take me out of this world. Everywhere, apostles. I tell you no lie, that old devil did everything to take me out of this world. And all I was telling him, I said, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going. And we saw people taken out on the stretchers when we came back from surgery. And we told him, no, you're not, because I have an assignment on my life. You hear what I'm telling you? He tried everything. I'm telling you the truth. I had two infections in St. Elizabeth Hospital, Apostle. Two infections in my intestines. I know how many miles, I think it was 68 or 62,000 miles of intestine to see you having your belly, or 85,000, I can't remember how much they say. And I looked at my belly cry, I can't understand how I can have all of them thousands of feet inside here. But I had two infections I picked up in the heart. I was just telling my lady prophetess over there in New Orleans. And they said to me that one stuff that I had that was coming out of my stomach when I go to defecate was coming out like silver. It was like glass, bubbles. And they said if I didn't get rid of that, this particular virus, if it attacks you, it attacks a lot of people, get attacked with it and they die. He said, the doctor says we put you on this latex or something. We still got some of the pills here. And say, if you don't come up within a week, it could kill you. Because most people get it, die. But I told the doctor, I said, no, I'm not dying. I ain't coming here to die. I come here to get fixed and go back on and fulfill my assignment. And they keep looking at me and laughing, you know, because sometimes when you're talking about Jesus, when you're not afraid to talk about Jesus, folk that don't know him will mock you with a smile. They'll mock you with a frown. You understand? Because you standing flat-footed for Jesus. Jesus hang up on the cross for us. We should be able to stand flat-footed and protest, profess that he is Lord of our life. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of that. The devil's a fool coming around me. Less than a week. Before it was a week up, the doctor test. They said everything was fine, Mr. Candler. The infirmity that's in your body within your body's gone. Let me tell you something. You better get excited about Jesus. This man here, when he saw Jesus, he began to scream, cry out, because he knew who Jesus was. See, if we recognize who Jesus is in our life, man, we will walk with our chest up, not with pride, but with a surety. This man began to beg Jesus not to torment him, like the other two and the other man. Jesus already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had snatched him, held him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters. But he would break the bands and be driven by the demons into the wilderness or desert. Jesus then asked him, what is your name? He answered, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged Jesus not to command them to depart in the abyss. Did they want to be sent back to the bottomless pit? The demons know where they're supposed to be. You got to open your mouth and you got to proclaim God's word. over every attack, everything that tried to get. See, I said try. Everything that tried to control you, tried to dominate your life. You got to open and speak God's word. There's people on your job coming against you. I'm laying on my bed and I'm seeing people working against me, Apostle, trying to stop me. And I begin to say, Lord, every hour, every spiritual hour, every demonic hour, every satanic hour that's being sent out to pierce me, send them back to the senders right now in the name of Jesus. We read that in the book of Elijah, in the book of Kings. Elijah called it the arrow of God. You got to send the arrow of God to pierce the enemy. Don't get up there and plead it for the enemy. I'm not pleading for the enemy. I'm pleading for my sisters and brothers that is being attacked by the enemy. You know, these preachers, these pastors, these bishops, these apostles that allow the enemy to infiltrate their minds and cause them to step out onto the dark side. I'm pleading for God to draw them out of darkness and bring them back into the light. Because it's not his desire that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the demons, those that have rejected Jesus and decide to walk into darkness and live in darkness with Satan, push them with the arrow of God. The demons in the man begin to beg Jesus not to cast them into the abyss, the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9 and 1. And when they saw the pigs was over there, the great herd on the hillside, they asked Jesus to allow them to go into. See, they can't stay in the man. Understand? They can't stay in the man because now Jesus is taking possession of this man's spirit, of this man's soul. You got to understand that you belong to God. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. So if Satan can't enter you without you giving him entrance, you got to give him the okay. But Jesus is standing there to let you know that you belong to him. All this stuff coming at you, coming against you in the church, in your house, on the job. Man, just go in the bathroom and close the door and begin to talk to Jesus about every attack. You ain't gotta fight with nobody. You don't have to fight with your wife, have to be your husband, with the children, fight with the boss, supervisor, none of that stuff. Go in the closet. Talk to your protector. Talk to your shield. Talk to your buckler. Talk to your strong tower. Hallelujah. When you begin to talk to him, he begin to dispatch angels. He begin to dispatch angels to work for you. Hallelujah. Amen. When Daniel was praying, 21 days he's fasting and praying. And every demon wants to stop Daniel. What is hinder Daniel prayer? Do you know when you begin to pray that demons come to stop your prayers from reaching the throne room? But you got to be persistent. You just can't give up because it seems like nothing's happening. You got to stay persistent. Don't give up. And Jesus allowed the demons to leave this man. And you heard the scripture before. They run down the pigs after they went into the pigs. The pigs run down the steep hill and run into the water and drown themselves. There's nothing good about demons. Nothing good about demons. People say, yeah, but I'm just going to go. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to spend some time. I'm going over to the witch doctor. I'm going over to the warlock. I'm going over to the palm reader. I'm going to get the Ouija board. And once I get the Ouija board, I can cause power. I can cause up spirits. The spirit's waiting there for you. They're right in that store waiting for you. As soon as you get that Ouija board, guess what? They're going to come out of darkness and come right into your soul. You think you're winning something. They're taking you to hell. They're going to have you doing stuff that you would normally do. You need to have the whole arm of God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I seen you. I'll talk back to you later. A pastor from India. But you have to get this on. We got to recognize that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, contending with physical opponents, but against the disposition or against the powers, against the masters, spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heaven, in the heavenly supernatural fear. Understand that the stuff that's coming against us is not natural. A lot of time we have fussed with our brothers and our sisters. We have come against them and we want to do them harm because we think that they're against us. But it's not them. It's the spirit that they allowed to infiltrate them, to direct them, to call your names, to do stuff to you. All you need to do is go on your knees. You'll do your greatest battle on your knees. You want to stand up and give them a piece of your mind. You want to tell them who you are, who you are. You don't want to tell them who you are. You tell them, because we forget that we belong to Christ. We say, let me just give you a piece of my mind. Let me just tell you who I am. And the devil wants to get you in that frame of mind. But what you need to do is tell them, go on your knees. You don't have to have no conversation with them. Go on your knees and begin to talk to God. He said, therefore put on God's complete armor, not part of the armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, firmly in your place. See, when you have already put on the full armor, you can stand flat-footed. I told a prophetess a few years ago, you know, she almost died. And I told her, you can't fight the devil on your tippity toe. And you can't fight him on your heel. See, you're out of balance. But when you flat-footed, you can stand up with the devil using God's word. You're not fighting him fist to fist or sword to, and use God's word. Prayer. Sing psalms, hymns. You mesmerize the devil. He don't want to hear those. Don't want to hear those. But your best fighting position is on your knees. On your knees. Even if you got to take a bathroom stop. Say, I got to go in the bathroom, boss, supervisor. I need to go to the bathroom. I need, I'm getting a little pain in my abdomen. I need to go into the bathroom. Because they want you to explain everything. If you got to go to the bathroom to urinate, defecate, you got to tell them, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm going to do a number two, a number one, whatever. I'm going to be in here for about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, go down there. You don't got to shout out. You got to shout out. God can hear the very slight prayer that's coming out your mouth. You got the armor firm in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. See, a lot of times we talk about this, but we don't get it. If you really want to be victorious, you've got to start with truth every day. After you finish and you're ready to leave for work, remember, you got the belt of truth. You got the breastplate of righteousness. You're who God said you are. You're not getting involved in that nasty, filthy stuff. They're making all them nasty, slimy jokes at your job. Find yourself in that area at lunchtime. Don't go to the table with them. Because they don't want to hear about Jesus. That's why they're talking all that slimy stuff. You got on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the gospel of preparation of peace. Hallelujah. To face the enemy with the fullest stability, promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel. Where you have this stuff on, where you have the word of God on your feet, it just means that you're walking. You're walking in the word. With David said, let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not going places that I shouldn't go because the word is leading me. The word is determining where I'm going to go. I'm started out with truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Lift up over the covering shield of faith. See, you got to trust what you are doing in the Lord. And you got to trust, believe what God has already done for you. Having which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. See, faith helps you to stand against all the arrows of the dark world. You got to cover your head with the helmet of salvation. See, the enemy's trying to penetrate your thoughts with all types of different things. You need the sword of the Spirit to wield, which is the word of God. And don't forget the prayer. Remember, he says that's where you win your fierce battles. The ones that want to take you out, you'll win them on your knees. The reality of demonic attacks and Jesus' victory over it is woven throughout the Gospels. And there are 82 references to the word demon or demons in the New King James Bible. The sinister fact of fallen angels could not be any clearer. However, Americans seem to exhibit an unusual dichotomy on this subject. They tend to reject organized religious belief while at the same time exhibiting an attraction to occult ideas and belief in demons. In 2012, two separate surveys addressed this phenomenon. The Pew Research Center found that an increasing number of Americans show an aversion to traditional religion affiliation, and almost 20% of the population has no religious identification at all. These constitute the so-called nuns, none of the above. Yet a whooping 85% also expresses belief in the existence of demons. In a separate survey, the research firm publicly polling determined that 63% of Americans aged 18 to 29 believe in demons and their ability to influence and possess humans. This trend may be traced to cultural influence. Demonic themes have been flooding television shows and films. On Halloween, a reality TV program supposedly featured a live exorcism. The television series Supernatural attract a wide audience along with the Starz channel dark occult comedy as Ash versus Evil. Ash versus Evil Dead. Demon possession is the focus of Cinemax's new series Outcast coming this year, as well as the recently released film Yakuza Apocalypse, The Great War of the Underworld. A growing preoccupation with the occult is leading explosion and paganism. I recently ran across a website listed the best demons for occult practitioners to sum us up. The culture is so laden with tolerance for bedevilment that last summer the Satanic Temple in Detroit proudly boasted about unveiling a statue of the goat-headed pagan god Baphomet and invited the public to attend. None of this should surprise us. The dichotomy plaguing America is a convergence of two trends, one that rejects theological truth and one that recognizes even embraces demonic activity. By the Sea of Galilee, archaeologists have unearthed a 1600 year-old marble slab with a Aramaic inscription on it. Experts believe the relic corroborate the location of ancient Kursi, the Sea of the Gergesenes, where Jesus cast out the demons into the pigs of the demonic possessed man, the man that had a legion of demons. A similar situation was evident in Kursi when Jesus encouraged the man in the Galilees who was possessed by a multitude of demons that he had the strength to burst his chains. Jesus exercised clear authority over the supernatural realm, recognizing him as Jesus of the Most High God. The demon capitulated, begging Jesus to send them out of the man and into the herd of pigs. Jesus granted the request. The locals knew the man was demon-possessed, and all their attempts to restrain him had failed. But after Jesus healed the man, they began to plead with him, Jesus, to depart from their region. They knew about demonic power, yet they rejected the Savior, the only one who could conquer it. To conclude that the physical of sight, sound, touch, and smell is all that exists leads to what the great writer C.S. Lewis called the fallacy of naturalism. But to embrace the existence of the supernatural without recognizing the Christ, that Christ is Lord of all, both the physical and the spiritual realm, is equally disastrous. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, stand therefore having your loins gird about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:12-17. Followers of Christ Jesus must refute false positions, proclaiming truth to the marketplace while wearing the whole armor of God. We must continue to put on the armor of God. When following Christ, we don't leave the principles behind. Because so many believers want Christ, but they don't want the principles. The principles of God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, requires us to do something different to what we've been doing. We sing, we dance, we pray, we shout, we preach, and all this. But we don't follow the principles of obedience. We do our own thing, and God says in order for you to be victorious, you're going to have to follow. In order for us, not just you, but in order for us to be victorious, we're going to have to follow the principles, the instructions that God gave us, the commands, the statutes, hallelujah, the law. We're going to have to follow them all in order to be victorious in this world that we live in. If you don't follow what God is saying, the devil will give you something to follow. Just want to tell you that. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. God, we honor you. Oh, God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing today, all that you would do. Lord, we ask you to continue to order our steps in your word. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, we ask you, God, to let us not deviate from the path that you have laid before us, O God. And Father, we ask you to continue to cover us in the blood, that when the enemy comes in, Lord, he will not be able to penetrate, because the blood will be or a shield of righteousness, O God. We ask, Father, this in Jesus' name. Thank you for those that came on today and heard the words. Lord, let them know we appreciate you. If this is the first time you come into Blog Talk Radio Church Line, we greatly appreciate you. If you have been here before, we want you to know that we appreciate you even the more. Pray that this word has blessed you. I pray that you have heard something that would elevate you to another place in Christ Jesus, that you would trust him even more, that you would use the faith that he has given you to develop it. Because, see, faith is just like a plant. The more you feed it, the prettier it will grow, the stronger it will grow. But you got to feed your faith, and you have to starve your doubts, because doubts come from the enemy. Faith comes from God. We just thank God for you today. God bless you. I'm going to open the line now for if anyone on the line want to come in and respond. The line is open. Well, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank God for you all that came on the line today. Father, we thank God for those that came on. We have a good crowd on the line today. As always, Father, we just thank you and we praise you, O God. Thank you for using my mouth to speak today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for healing my body. Thank you for giving me strength, new strength today. Lord, yesterday's strength was good for yesterday, but thank you for today's strength. I pray today, O God, that you continue to help me to walk in the light as you are the light of this world. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you opportunity to receive him. And the Bible said that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says. This is in God's word. So I'm saying the same thing, that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that God sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It also said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever, that means anybody who believe in Jesus Christ, be ashamed. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You won't be ashamed. Glory to God. Because you believe in the only one and true living Savior, the Son of the true God. You believe in him. So, the Bible said that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus. Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. What Jesus says, no one. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're inviting you now to come. We're inviting you to give your heart, give your mind, give your soul to Jesus. Take the opportunity to surrender your life, because he doesn't want just a part of your life. He wants your whole life. You know, when we were in the world, we do everything that we could do to please the world. And now we're in the church. We don't want to do anything to please the Lord. We just want to come and just receive from the bishop, the pastor, the apostle, the deacon, the elder, whoever is preaching Sunday morning, and then we go. But we're not using what we get. And so, but we want you to receive Jesus as your Lord. If you don't do anything else, receive him as your Lord today. But tomorrow is not promised to anyone, not to you, and sure enough, not to me. take the time right where you are to repent. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Tell the Lord that you've been living your life in sin. But after you heard the word, you are convinced that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is listening. It don't have to be a big, drawn-out stuff. Repentance got to come from the heart. It's not from your head. It comes from the heart. Let him know that you repent of your sins. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I am surrendering my heart to you, Lord Jesus. So I invite you to come in and sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you have just said that prayer that, and you believe in your heart what you said with your mouth, you just received the gift of salvation. What we recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Gospel of Acts, because you want to have a clear understanding of this Jesus that you are calling Lord. You want to know this for sure. Then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. Tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because you want people to be witnesses of the greatest day of your life. And remember, you might have to, when the pastor, if the pastor said that he will do it, they might say that first you need to come to a class. The class may be a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 3 weeks. All different places of worship there. They do different things. Some people do it for 1 week, some do 2 weeks, some do three, some do four. Where they come and they explain to you the reason why you need to be baptized. But either way, go on and go to the class. And then you have your friends and family and everybody for the date that is set for you to be baptized. You are going in what we call the liquid grave. Jesus is going down with you and he's coming back up with you. And everything that held you in captivity in your mind, you are leaving in that watery grave. When you come up out of there with Jesus, you're going to come up with so much joy. It may be hard to contain you. Every time I see this, I remember when I got baptized, I ran off. I mean, I was running. And there was a lady, she was an elder, Elder Izzy. She wrote several books. And she was in Virginia. And she said to the people, said, leave him alone, pastor, just leave him alone. Because she was the one who baptized in the church. The pastor didn't baptize. And that was her ministry, baptism. And I just running, crying, laughing, shouting, everything, because it was the greatest day of my life. I'll never forget it. Every time I get to say a prayer of salvation or invite people to come to Christ, even in the church building, I remember when I first got baptized. I thank God for you all that heard the word and received the word. Now I'm going to pray and close up because nobody responded. So we thank God for you here today. Somebody, extra people came on today. And we thank God for you coming on today. We pray God's strength, strengthen you, God protect you, God shield you. You may be on your job and you can't respond. You may be in the supermarket, you can't respond. You may be at the doctor's office, you can't respond. But wherever you are, I thank God for you. I want you to know that I appreciate when you come to Blog Talk Radio. I don't take your presence lightly, neither does God, because we know to be in his presence is to receive the fullness of joy. So we thank God for you. Father, we just ask now, Lord, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we are praying even right now that the blessing that Evangelist Tina is talking about, Lord, that they say we're right here on top of it, Lord, that it comes to us, that we get the call, that we can go to the banks and do what needs to be done so we can help the poor, we can help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and even the orphans. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that it come quicker than quicker and sooner than soon in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And Jesus just mean that your life as a Christian should glorify his life, you know, should be exemplary of who he is. In other words, your life should show Jesus. When they look at you, they see the attributes of Jesus. So we say this every day. And I want you to tell somebody that you love them and God loved them. And maybe the word that they hear today in the ear gates that will stop them from committing suicide, stop them from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. I just want to let you know that I love you. God love you. And be blessed. Have a blessed day, a safe day. And we'll be back here tomorrow. I don't know if one of these other sermons I put up tomorrow, whatever the Lord want me to release, we will release. We are in the time of Lenten season. I believe we are going into Lenten season now. We're going to celebrate Easter and celebrate Good Friday and Easter and all this stuff they're going to be doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and their pastor from India sent me a message. Said, praise the Lord, my dear apostle. How are you? How is your health? We are praying for you. Please send latest photos and video message. Thank you. Okay, we are sending you a photo and video message this week. God bless you. We thank God for them. They pray for me all the time. There's several churches that we, from time to time, we send them money to help them, help the kids, the orphans, as we get blessed. We haven't been able to do a lot in that area because, you know, I've been down for a little bit, but we are coming back up. And as we come back up, we'll be able to send to help them, help the kids. I want you all to stay blessed, stay safe, stay protected, and stay vigilant. Watch your surroundings. Pay attention to your surroundings. Because we are living in perilous times and there's so much people out there doing stuff right now. There's so many means of people that come in the country and they're going into people's homes. Make sure that you lock your door, back door, front door, side door, windows must be locked. Hallelujah. Don't leave your window cracked without a lock. You know, because if you're going to crack your window, put a rod up top that they can't push the window up. Understand? I want you to, because these people are going to come in your house and they will hurt you. It will hurt you. We see it happening in New York City. Please secure your house and protect your life and your family. God bless you. God bless you. I love you so much, but God loves you more. Have a blessed day.